Hello, everyone. Welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees and a fun twist at the end of each episode.
All right, guys. So this is the episode that we've all been waiting for. This is the day that everyone's been waiting for. Every baseball fan around the world, every Yankees fan. The lockout is officially over. We started recording literally the minute we saw Jeff Passan tweet that the owners have ratified the agreement. So baseball is officially back. Spring training free agency is open. This is going to be the greatest free agency period and like trade period of baseball history. Like, we thought what happened before the lockout was crazy. I can't even begin to imagine what's going to happen right now, starting right now. And we're going to record for an hour to an hour and a half, talk about our thoughts on everything that happened, obviously talk about some of the stuff that happened with the new CBA. I think we can go into light expectations of the Yankees, who we think they're going to sign, talk about who's slot there in free agency. But during all of that, we're going to have Twitter open and we're going to have everything open, just looking at the timeline, seeing if anything is announced. I mean, there's just so much that can happen. This is the best day ever. I'm so excited.
Can we talk about how much of a miracle it took for this to happen? I did not think we were going to get 162 game season. I really didn't. I thought we were going to start in like maybe July, if that, because it really seemed like both sides were like dug in into their positions and we're not going to budge at all, especially owners. Their side seemed to not budge at all.
Before, what was it, Tuesday night that things started, like that the last like 17 hour day that we had, like we had one obviously right before the Jupiter deadline, the first deadline, and then we had another one right before this deadline. And like before that, I was like, okay, like things aren't happening, this is going to take a while. But then things stopped then, and I was like, oh, we might actually get a deal done like right now, just like we thought on Jupiter. And of course, the MLB is like, oh, wait, now actually, I'm not going to do a deal without the international draft. So that was tough. But yeah, I mean, the fact that it actually happened today, I've desensitized myself. I was like, all right, like they're tweeting like it might happen, but there's no chance it's actually going to happen. But then it actually happened. Mm-hmm. And this is amazing. It's just,
it was a roller coaster, and I'll be honest with you, I let myself get a little too hyped up the last couple of days, like hoping the deal would happen. And then yesterday when they said that it was still a major roadblock ahead, because I thought everything was all agreed upon, especially you saw Heyman's tweet, right? It seemed like it was all, like it seemed like it was an agreed upon thing. It was just a matter of, you know, moments before they agreed to it. And then we get, boom, 8 o'clock. It's like no deals reach, games are canceled. And so I was like, okay, now we're in for a fight. We're not getting baseball for a while.
Oh, and let's talk about the fact that everyone on the planet was like, these are arbitrary deadlines. You don't have to cancel games, blah, blah, blah. Rob Manfred sucks. Like, and now we see, what, a week and 2 days after Rob Manfred said, oh, we have to cancel this first week of games. It doesn't logistically make sense to make them up. Like, players aren't going to get paid, blah, blah, blah. But what are we doing a week and 2 days later? We're playing a full 162. It's almost as if Bobby didn't have to say these games must be canceled and there's a deadline to play 162. Like, but I don't even care about any of that anymore. Like, we're playing 162. It's happening. The baseball season's happening. Oh my God. It's just, and we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, but I just want to, something that just popped up on my timeline that I want to mention. So I don't forget, because it's not on like all the websites about it, but like one interesting thing in this new CBA, starting in 2023. So next season, schedules will feature fewer divisional games, and every team will play at least one series against every other opponent, including the other league. So that's huge. Like, I don't know about you, but like, I really like, there are certain teams that I like watching from the NL, but I obviously don't get to see them that much. Namely the Angels. We obviously play them every year, but like teams like the Rockies or even some of the other NL teams on the East Coast, like the Braves, the Marlins, like some of these teams we don't play every year, I don't believe, but a lot of the West Coast teams
we
don't play
every year. We do play. We just don't play
But there are teams we don't play every year that we will now, and that's going to be like those games are going to be, or series are going to be fun to watch.
So what's really interesting about that is that, you know how everyone's always saying like the AL Central is a trash league.
Oh, that's true.
You know, you're playing the Tigers, you're playing like, so less divisional games against those teams. And then like, I think it makes it, because the AL East is the hardest division, I think. I get the NL West had the Dodgers and Giants, but.
Well, let's remember how bad the Padres were. Like they had two teams that finished above 500. The AL East had four fucking teams that finished with 90 wins. Like, it's not comparable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even close.
So I think that's going to be really interesting. And I really do like it. Just like you said, like it, I am fans of like other teams and other divisions, and you just never get to really see them. Like, I never see the Brewers, you know? So it's nice to see them play a game. And then Yankees, Padres, you know, they're going to bring up the 98 World Series, you know, talk about that. But it's going to be nice.
And something funny that you just said, that you never see the Brewers, we're actually playing them this year. I want to go to the game in Milwaukee just because I've never been there, and it'd be cool to go to. I don't know if that's going to happen because I imagine it's not very cheap to go to Milwaukee, but like, I can't wait. And the schedule brings me to opening day. It has been announced officially. I don't know if this is across the MLB. I know the Yankees official opening day is April 7th against the Boston Red Sox. That was our home opener before anything got canceled. But for that to be made opening day, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so excited. And we have tickets. Like, Jatinder and I bought tickets for this the day they released them, just having faith that they wouldn't get canceled. If they did, we get a refund or whatever. But now buying those based on it being the home opener, we are already so excited. But now the fact that it's opening day against the Red Sox, oh my God, it's going to be one of the best days of my life. Literally, like no exaggeration.
So
first, you can go.
It's just me and Ryan was talking about before the podcast started, but we were saying like, you know, April 7th, like it's going to be good weather. Usually like the seasons didn't really start in March. You know, historically, it would be around April 1st, around then. So it's not that far off. Plus, we're hoping for good weather, you know, 50, 60 degrees. And then the fact that we could see the Red Sox Yankees play the first game after the lockout, come on. Like, that's just magical, dude, right there.
And new tweets are saying that lockout will officially be lifted at 7 p.m. So, man, we have 24 minutes to cover as much as we can about what has happened. And then I think
we can,
even if it's just some stuff, I hope as soon as it gets 7 p.m. we get all of the tidbits about who's been talking to who this whole time. And we're lying to ourselves. Happens, we don't think. Yeah.
Before that happens, what's your prediction is the first free agency move? Like
first free agency move or first like big one?
First free agency move. None of that.
Part of me wants to say Brett Gardner to the Yankees, but
so that's what I thought was going to be the first move. Like as soon as free agency's lifted, Yankees agreed to a deal with Brett Gardner.
And like him 1 year, $4 million. But other than that, hold on, let me run through the list really quick.
Before we talk about free agency, let's talk about the actual deal itself. Let's talk
So okay, how do we want to start? Well, I guess we'll start with the CBT, which is obviously one of the biggest pieces. What is the final, I believe the final agreement was this 2020 CB or 2022 starts at $230 million, which is up from $210 million, right? I believe it was $210 million. Yep. So that's a $20 million is like, that's basically what we pay Stan. So
and yeah. Before all this, the players, the owners wasn't budging at all at that seat. Like, they increased it what, $1 million, $2 million?
Yeah.
But they were not. So the fact that they went to 230 is a big win. I mean,
yeah.
So
yeah, I think the players started at 245 or 248, I believe. So they came down, they did, it was a compromise. Like, I do think the owners ended up moving a little bit more, but like the ending CBT is about $20 million lower than the players originally wanted. So they compromised a little bit on the end, but it goes to 244 after 5 years, which I mean, that allows you either two really good role pieces or like one good player additional. Mm-hmm. And then they added the Steve Cohen tax, is what people are calling it, a third layer. I think if you're 60 million above the 200, like the first base layer of CBT, there's like even more penalties. And that's really targeted towards the fact that the Mets are quote unquote supposed to hit like 300 million. If they sign the players they want, they might think twice about that now.
Yes. This was really for Dodgers and Mets, but especially the Mets in particular, for those runaway spenders. And you really did get the sense that Steve Cohen was going to run away with this and just like start just handing out crazy contracts. Yeah, he's already handing out crazy contracts.
Yeah. And the fact that they moved it to 230, there is no excuse that the Yankees don't sign a superstar free agent. Like, I don't care if it's Freddie Freeman, I don't care if it's Correa or Story, they need to sign one of the top free agents and prove that they're not messing around anymore. Like, there is no, they should shoot over the 230 and get to like the 250, 270. They're probably not going to, because Howell is cheap, but like, or not, they, he's cheap relative.
Tax, though. Like,
yeah, like they need to go all in.
But like, they reset it. Yeah.
Extend Judge, sign Correa, Story, trade for Olsen or sign Freeman. I don't care about the luxury tax. We can cut down to like close to 200, I believe. And then that gives you $70 million to work with. Like, you have the money to do this. So just do it and win a World Series for the fans that have been waiting.
There's a measly contracts too, 13 as well. Years.
And you're wasting the primes of Garrett Cole, Stanton, Judge, three of the best players in Major League Baseball, just because you don't want to spend money. I understand we have Volpe and Dominguez and all of them coming up, which we'll talk about that more when we talk about free agents. But that's the CBT overall compromise. But I think the players definitely won a lot there. Then the big place that the players won is minimum salary. That went from $570,500 last year to $700,000 this year, going up to $780,000 in 5 years. Like, that is a huge jump.
Yeah, and I think the players wanted $790,000 at the end of it.
That was their last proposal.
Yeah, okay.
$790,000 was their last proposal. I think, I don't remember what their original ask was, but this was definitely a win for the players.
Oh, for sure. Like, especially the play just coming into the league. This is, rookie. This is the minimum.
Yeah.
So this is a big deal. You know, obviously a lot of talks have been like, it's millions versus billionaires, but you know, those fringe guys, they're really not making a lot of money.
And then another huge thing that's just a straight up win for the players, because they didn't have this at all before, is the pool that they have for pre-arb players now. It was set to 50 million. Like, I remember when this first started, the owners offered 5 million. So they went from 5 to 50.
Yeah.
And that's literally dead middle, because it was zero and the players wanted 100. I think that's just a massive overshoot. Because you want to start high and work your way down, but 50 million to go to these young players, that's like 2 million.
It's a huge win for these team. Younger players. Like, this new deal, huge win for those younger players. Also, this is still in effect. Remember, in our last podcast we recorded, they said that teams that manipulate service times and stuff, that that's still part of this whole CBA thing. Like, they've always agreed to that, so that's still there. But it's like the players that's not that has Super 2, this is their bonus, and that's huge win.
Yeah, I think the fact that they, sorry, I was just reading through. Let me get back into this. What you said, the service time manipulation. Another thing they agreed to is, I think they limited it to 5 options per year, which that's huge for those fringe players. Like, there were players that got optioned like 13, 14 times. And for some of you, like, if you're a more casual fan, you don't know exactly what we're talking about. Optioning is just when you go from AAA to the MLB and then get sent back down to the MLB. So think like Steven Ridings last year, it happened to him a couple times. Nick Nelson, like, when you get sent up and you have to go from like Scranton to New York, or some teams are much further, and like you keep getting transferred every 2 or 3 days, especially for relief pitchers, like, that wears down on you. It is not good for your development. But now limiting it to 5 is huge. Like, that's that's really good for the players. And draft inducements to discourage service time manipulation, you shouldn't have to reward them to not manipulate the young players, but the fact that they're doing something to try and help is a win for the players. Like, I'm fine giving a few draft picks, because we all know draft picks aren't huge in baseball. So if it means like stuff that happened with Julio Rodriguez and famously Chris Bryant, if that stuff stops happening as much, that's just a win for baseball.
So wait, I remember reading something on MLB.com. I just wanted to see how they characterized it. Because it was something like, they said for alleged service time manipulation. They're like, they didn't like, they, the way they phrased it was just funny. Yeah, it was funny to me the way they characterized it on the MLB side.
What would you describe what they did to Chris Bryant if it wasn't service time manipulation? I don't know how we've gotten this far into this and haven't mentioned the fact that there's a universal PH.
So they wrote a system to prevent alleged service time manipulation.
Whatever. That's a win. But the fact that we haven't mentioned the universal DH yet, that's a 30-second talking point, because most people want it. It's good for the game of baseball. No one wants to see a pitcher flail at pitches or try and bunt the ball. Sure, you get the occasional fun home run, but that does not make up for the 0.015 batting average that pitchers probably have. Like, and how much do they get hurt doing it for the AL teams?
And it opens up a spot for players now on the NL. So I'm kind of interested to see I was thinking for the Mets, obviously now Dominic Smith is their DH. They don't have to throw him in the outfield, try to make that work. In this article, Ryan, I see additionally player uniforms will feature advertising for the first time, with patches on jerseys and decals on batting helmets. Do you see that right above where you are? I didn't realize that they were doing that.
I think that's going to be similar to the Nike thing. Like,
after a Yankees while, fans, you just get used to it.
This is especially prominent for teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers, the teams with the Red Sox, Cubs, teams with really historic uniforms. It's going to bother them, those fans, a lot more than like Diamondbacks or the Brewers. Like, but in the end, at the end, like, I don't care about the Nike logo anymore. Some fans disagree with that, but I don't notice it really. And if it's like the NBA, how it's the little tiny logo on your shoulder or something, you're just going to forget about it. Like, the first year, it's going to be kind of weird. You'd be like, it's kind of gross. But 5 years from now, people aren't going to think about that. Like, no one talks about that in the NBA. The Lakers have wish.com on their jerseys. It's the Lakers. Like, that's the equivalent to the Yankees. Like, no one, or I guess the Dodgers, if you want to be coastal, but like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't care. If that's what we needed to do to get more fairness for the players, like, I'm fine with making that trade. The 45, we can talk about the rule changes quick. 45 days to implement rule changes now, which means they can do it in an off season without having a whole year in advance. And the biggest ones that are likely going to be implemented this year, I don't think it's official that they will be, but they probably will, are pitch clock, which that's good for the game of baseball. I think
that's in 2023, not this year.
Yep. Yep. 2023. I think the pitch clock is good for the game of baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't think the fans are really going to notice it, but I do think you are going to notice the fact that you don't have like actual rain delays on the mound anymore because a player takes 35 seconds in between each pitch. So that's going to be good. The next thing is the ban on shifts, which is very controversial. So what are your thoughts on that?
It depends on what it is. You know, I'm not really clear on what they mean. Oh, like, is it just,
So I think what I've seen is all four infielders have to be on the dirt.
Okay.
That's what I've seen so far. I don't think they've limited to side, like two on each side, but as of right now, it's definitely all four on the dirt.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. I just want to see how it works out in practice, but like, I don't hate it. And I think I like it. You know, I thought the way it was going to work out would be like you're only allowed a certain number of shifts or something, or like you can't have this player on this side of the infield, but we'll see how it works out. I'm not too worried about that. And I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to affect Joey Gallo, Gary Sanchez. I'm sure it's going to be a big help for them.
Yeah. So I think it'll help the players the most that hit hard ground balls to the side, mm-hmm. or like line drives, like Joey Gallo, players that hit into the shift but hit weaker grounders a lot, mm-hmm. aren't going to be helped as much if it's the dirt thing. Because why I say that is, like, if you have to play on the dirt instead of the second baseman playing like 10 steps into the outfield, those mm-hmm. really hard hit balls aren't going to be stopped as much. So it'll help them. And I honestly like restricting shifts. I don't think making it so you literally can't go on the other side of the base, like, that might be a little extreme. I wouldn't hate it if that happened, but like, it's gonna hurt pitchers a little bit, but it's going another thing it's going to be good for the game of baseball. It's gonna make it more exciting to watch. There's going to be more mm-hmm. offense. That I hate people that are like, we'll just hit the ball the other way or just bunt the ball. Would you rather watch Joey Gallo bunt the ball to the empty third base side or actually hit?
Hey, like, that last game of the series, dude, when he bunted, that was the most awesome thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, if you would rather watch a player bunt or fight off a ball to the other way just to do it, like, mm-hmm. why?
Yeah.
Why do you have to be so annoying? Just let them play baseball. You think the original baseball teams did this? Like, I don't know. I like the fact that they're doing something about it. I think the whole third baseman playing in right field, that has taken things too far. Like, when your third baseman becomes an outfielder for a shift, that's when things were taken to a whole new level, that it's like, all right, you're just taking away too much offense. Like, this is too extreme. Yeah.
And that's anything for a little extra offense, I'm all for, you know. I have to see how it works out in practice, but I'm not against this at all. Like, I think this is good for the game. So,
yeah. And then the last thing, possibly the least,
I'm not even sure what is the point of larger.
Okay.
Bases.
So larger bases, I think the main points are reduce injury specifically at first base, but it'll just allow more space for the player and the first baseman or the baseman of whatever base it is, the fielder, to have more space to share the bag. Mm-hmm. And then also, I think it's supposed to help speed be more relevant again. Yeah. Okay. I think it's 2 inches on each side. So at the end of the day, it is a bit bigger, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's been like a bad change they've done at the minor league level. So I think it's good. I think it's player safety first and foremost, which is mm-hmm. the most important thing.
Okay.
What is next? Oh, the draft lottery. I think the final thing was six teams. So
I think so too. Yeah.
So I think that means, I forget how it works. Is it six picks are lotteried and more teams are available to be in that lottery? I think that's how it is. Or is it just like the bottom six teams are lotteried and those picks are like random?
So I think the top six are like, if you're the bottom six, those are going to be like lottery picks. And so if you finish with the sixth worst team, you could end up with a top pick.
Okay. So it's not like the NHL where the 14th team could get the first pick.
No.
Okay.
At least from my understanding of it, that's not how it works out.
Okay. Well, we'll have to see exactly how it's going to work. But I think no matter how it works, it's good because it takes away the big advantage of tanking. You don't have as much of an advantage to tank anymore. Yeah. So that's just good.
The draft, this isn't but the Rule 5 draft is canceled. So remember how the Yankees got rid of Clint Frazier, got rid of Tyler Wade. It's all for nothing.
Yeah, that sucks.
There is no Rule 5 draft. So it would have been nice if we'd known that beforehand, but that's canceled.
So do you know the whole qualifying offer? Is it the qualifying offer status quo until they reach a resolution on the international draft? Or is it the qualifying offer is canceled, but if they don't get rid of the draft by July or whatever it is, then it goes back to what it was before?
My understanding of it was that it's still in place. And if they don't reach it, it's going to continue to be in place. But if they reach a deal on the international draft, it's gone.
Okay. Which, if it does get taken away, that's good because it allows teams to make more moves without not doing it without like tying players to draft picks. I just think that's a good idea.
Yeah. And like, remember how Kershaw didn't get a qualifying offer and he's still a free agent, but you know, they remember how the Dodgers have to do that, the Yankees have to do that, just tying that down, and people are like, oh, now that I have to give up a draft pick, I'm not going to sign this guy. So it kind of limits their options for teams to sign with. So I think it's a good, if they can get it to work, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, and then on the topic of the international draft, Jatana and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. I think that the main issue the players had was the fact that the MLB put this in so late as a thing that must be decided on. Like, they talked about it before, but it was never like a huge thing for the MLB. So the players kind of just went, they're like, we don't want this, whatever. This isn't going to be a snag. But then all of a sudden the MLB is like, I am not doing a deal unless you at least entertain the fact of an international draft. And like, I think that was the biggest issue. If they had more time to work out, like if they started talking about the draft 2 months ago and it was a huge thing for the MLB, like they probably could have figured it out. I think in the end there will be a draft, but it's just they have to figure out the timing and how exactly to do it.
Yeah. To make it fair. Me and Ryan were talking about this before the podcast started. It's just that I don't really know too much about the international draft, but it seemed like this was a last minute thing. So it's like, it's kind of unfair to just throw it in last minute and then expect the players to accept without even thinking about the consequences of accepting it, right? So I do think the deadline is July 25th, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Right. Yeah, so I think that should be enough time for them to think about what they want to do with this. But I really do think in the end, international draft will happen.
Yeah, and I think something that they want to do, because a lot of people are like, oh, if they do an international draft, like the Yankees are screwed because they're never gonna be able to get top prospects. Which I think what they're gonna do is figure out a system. I don't think they have a set system yet, but they'll probably try and figure out a system to make it so that there's some sort of rotation and it's not tied to record. So teams like the Yankees and Dodgers that finish at the top a lot will actually be able to get top draft picks every now and again. Because that traditionally was the way for top teams to rebuild their farm system. Think Jason Dominguez, Roderick Arias, players like that. So, yeah, Well, we'll see how it works. I think that I agree. I think they'll get to it.
And another thing that me and Ryan were talking about just before the podcast, like, teams agree to deals with players before they're even reach of age to sign those contracts. So if you implement it right away, all those deals are blown up because now they don't have a right to choose which teams they're going to go to because they're just drafted. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how they take that into account too. So I would, if they do come to an agreement, I wouldn't expect the draft to happen right away, probably in a couple years.
Yeah, I think actually, I think it'll be 2024 if it does happen. Mm-hmm. So 2 years gives teams, like the Yankees and Mets already have top prospects lined up for the next year or two. So it just gives teams and the whole system in the in Latin America to just figure out how to go forward. Mm-hmm. But I think, did we cover, I think that's everything that's like important.
I think so too. CBA. I think so too. I think we covered it. I think one thing we didn't really talk about is we mentioned it, but we didn't go into detail is the new playoff system. Oh, now there's going to be 12 teams.
Yeah.
So like current system is 10 teams. That's what we've had last year. And during 2020, we had 16 teams, but I was kind of interested to see how that format is going to work out. I know me and you, Ryan, were talking about it, but you have any thoughts on that? Well, do you like expanded playoffs, first of all?
12 teams I'm perfectly fine with. I did not want 14. I think that's too many, but 12, I'm okay with it. Like, I don't know if I'm not like, oh, I absolutely love that. That's the best thing ever. But like, I accepted the fact that it was going to happen, and I'm happy that I was 12 and not 14. I think it'll be exciting.
I think so too. So I'll be interested to see how the format actually comes about, and me and Ryan were thinking about how it's going to work out, just because, you know, 12 teams is kind of a, it's not an odd number, but it's how do you get that bracket to look like. So I'll be interested to see what the final bracket looks like, because to my knowledge they haven't actually announced anything.
And I think the most likely situation is the first two division winner, or the two best records or two best division winner records get a bye, and then you have a matchup, like a wild card round matchup between the other four teams. I think that's most likely, but we'll see what they do.
And I think that's probably the easiest way, but there's another way that they could do it that me and you, Ryan, kind of talked about, but I think it's kind of hard to explain without actually looking without at showing. It. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe Ryan, we'll you could put it up on Twitter.
Yeah.
A picture, and we could have that, and you know, someone tweet at us, see if you like the idea.
Drawing.
Yeah, my very crude drawing that I put up like 5 minutes before this call.
So one thing, it's 7 o'clock, everyone. So
all right,
buckle on up. But one thing I saw a quote that Rob Manfred had during his
that's what I was gonna tell you to read.
His presentation, or whatever you want to call it, when he talked about the CBA, he said, "One of the things that I'm supposed to do is promote a good relationship with our players. I've tried to do that. I think I have not been successful in that. I think that it begins with small steps. This is why I picked up the phone after the ratification and called Tony Clark and expressed my desire to work with him. It's going to be a priority of mine moving forward to try and make good on the commitment I made to him on the phone." So what are your first thoughts hearing that?
I mean, I think it's probably PR move more than anything, but you know, if it's true, I think that's a good step, you know, like I think that's good, you know.
Yeah, Rob Manfred is like, he talks in such a good way that like, if you don't know everything that's been going on, you would think it's like all the players' fault, and like the way
if you're a casual fan, you have no idea. Like, you know, the games did end up getting played later, but for the most part, this didn't really affect you, right? You're still going to get 162 games. You probably didn't even realize there was a lockout if you're just a casual fan. So like, if you don't know anything, especially if you're only just getting caught up the last couple of days, it really did seem like it was the players' fault, right? the way the MLB tried to frame it, they was like, hey, we had a deal in place, we gave it to you, they didn't accept it. I think he speaks good, and
I can't, after Rob Manfred didn't punish the Astros that much and said the World Series trophy is just a piece of metal, I will never believe that he actually cares about the game of baseball. But the fact that he said this, if it's not just a PR stunt, it can only help baseball if he actually tries to have a good relationship with the players for once. But I think that's an interesting quote. I'm just refreshing Twitter, hoping stuff happens. But okay, what do we want to talk about
next? You know what else he said? Rob Manfred, when they ratified it, he said, I am genuinely thrilled to be able to say that Major League Baseball is back and we're going to play 162 games. I do want to start by apologizing to our fans. Looking forward, I could not be more excited about the future of our game. Interesting coming from him, because I know a lot of, you know, people who are saying he does not like baseball, and this is probably the best thing, you know, not having baseball, just because he's not a baseball fan, which is crazy to me. Like, that is true, right? Like, he's not a baseball fan.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh my god, the Yankees just uploaded a video, a hype video. I can't wait. The lockout has officially lifted. It's baseball season. I can't wait for stuff to start pouring in. All right, so let's talk about, since the lockout's officially lifted, do you think we should move on to free agents? And
there's a lot of free agents left. Let's just run through the list of who's still available, and then let's go into, you know, what we want or what we think will happen.
I have a list pulled up, and we'll go through positions, starting with catcher. Are there any?
Yeah, let's just highlight Luke Roy, names.
Wilson Ramos. There's really
catchers are really, really thin. That's why we've always said, like, a lot of people want to get rid of Sanchez, but there's really no better options to get either through trade or free agency, especially free agency. Trade, like, you're going to have to give away a top prospect to even come away with a really good catcher. And then any other catcher available, it's like, are they really upgrades from Sanchez? I don't think so. So I think Luke Roy and Wilson Ramos are probably the two biggest catchers available.
I'm going on the MLB website really quick to see if spaces are back.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Hey, the players are back.
Nice.
Okay. All right. So moving on to first base, there's obviously one really big name, but so some of the smaller names are still important. Yoshi Sosugo, Travis Shaw, then Kyle Schwarber and Anthony Rizzo are step up from that, but you have like Marwin Gonzalez is a free agent.
You can play Mitch anywhere. Moreland. Brad Miller is another Brad guy Miller. That can play anywhere.
Albert Pujols. but the real big guys, or big guy, is Freddie Freeman. Let's start there, because everything else I think will follow. I mean, I think Rizzo and Schwarber will follow. Everyone else is kind of just whatever, wherever they go, they go. But what do you think is going to happen with? Oh, I know your answer, but let everyone else know where you think Freddie Freeman's going.
I think he's going back to the Braves. I saw reports saying that it's between the Yankees and Braves. I just think I can't imagine him anywhere else. So I think he's going back to the Braves, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I personally don't think he's going back to the Braves. I think most likely, probably the Dodgers or Yankees, but I want him to go back to the Braves. I know him being on the Yankees would be awesome. That'd be great for us. Mm-hmm. I would rather have Matt Olson, which he's not a free agent, but just trade for him. Like,
I guess the thing that comes down between, well, Freeman and Olson, they're both Gold Glove winning lefty first baseman, right?
Yep.
That's where they're pretty similar. Olson is going to cost you prospect. Freeman is just straight money. So it kind of depends on what the Yankees feel like their future is going to be. Like, do they just want to, you know, I think if it's just money, just get Freeman and then try to keep your prospects. But we'll see. And Freeman is obviously older, but then Olsen is still going to eventually have to get a contract, right? We would only have him for 2 years.
Yeah, you can sign Freddie Freeman for 5 years probably, and 5 years of Freddie. He's 32. Like, he's a first baseman. He's not going to become unplayable when he's 36 or 37, unless he has injuries. But Freddie Freeman hasn't dealt with huge injury issues. So, I mean, I know I said I want Olsen, but I will not be upset at all if we sign Freddie Freeman. Like, he is every year in, year out, one of the best, if not the best, first baseman in the league. And he's a lefty at Yankee Stadium, and he has an amazing smile. He's a great guy.
Everything we wanted from Rizzo, the same thing, and Rizzo is the same thing.
Yeah, Rizzo's awesome.
In with Olsen and Freeman, but, you know, lefty first baseman that plays defense, which helps us so much. So
And speaking of Rizzo, if it comes down to us signing Rizzo back, as long as the deal is good, I wouldn't hate it. Obviously, I'd prefer Olsen or Freeman, but Rizzo's good. Like, the defense alone makes him worth a lot. So we'll see.
It's interesting that they put Schwarber at first base.
Yeah, I think he's a DH. I think he'll sign the NL and play DH, or he'll re-sign with the Red Sox, one of the two. Yeah. I think Rizzo will go to the Cubs if they are serious about competing. I think he'll go to the Cubs. Just go back. So moving on to second base, are there any actual worthwhile second basemen? Not really. Like, there's some utility guys
really early in the.
Yeah, there's some utility guys like Marlon Gonzalez is there, Brandon Drury, Matt Carpenter.
I think Matt Carpenter is washed. Jose Iglesias seems like the biggest name of the second base.
I don't care about second base. To be honest, none of those are. But next is shortstops. We do care
There's
about
There's a lot of the shortstops there.
Let's start with the big boys, Trevor Story and Carlos Correa.
You didn't want to start with Andrelton Simmons? He's the guy the Yankees are going to sign.
No. So speaking of the Yankees signing, I want them to sign Trevor Story. Carlos Correa is the better shortstop. There's no doubt about it. He's the better player. But Trevor Story fits into the future of the Yankees much better and is still an incredible player.
So, Ryan, you've been texting me. Your mind kind of flipped for a little bit. I don't know when we last recorded. What was your decision? But it seems like now you're going with Story. And they're so close. Like, it really is like a flip of a coin, you know? But now you're saying Story is your guy?
So what changed my mind is Anthony Volpe and how much and Arias and the fact that the Yankees also love Peraza. I think they'll, if they get Olsen, Peraza's probably gone. But the fact that we have Volpe, we need a spot for Volpe. And Trevor Story allows us, he can go into center field, and that's huge because then Volpe has a shortstop spot. Gleyber can keep playing second. DJ can play third, or we can, like, whatever. But if you sign Carlos Correa, he's only ever going to play shortstop or third. So if Volpe then has to play shortstop or third, or you have to get rid of Gleyber. And I still think Gleyber is going to be a great player, so I don't want to get rid of him. And then
he's still so young. Like, he's not a guy you give up on.
Yeah, and if you keep Peraza, or if Arias develops into a great player, if you have Volpe and Correa on that side of the infield, you just don't have space for them. And Trevor Story just gives you so much more flexibility. So that's why I want Story. He's still an incredible player. It's not like we're sacrificing getting a great player in Correa for a not good player in Story. Who do you want to sign? Oh, and Story doesn't come story doesn't come with all the baggage that Correa does.
I still think I don't know. It just depends on everything else with the Yankees moves, right? So if the Yankees sign a first baseman, then I feel like they might not get a shortstop, because then you have Gleyber. Yeah, then that means you're going to have to put DJ at third, right? Like, I don't know. I still think Correa is the guy that you have to get. You know, he's just the top player available. I'm fine with Trevor Story. Like, I've always been fine with Trevor Story. And I think he's going to be a good player. I just think I'd rather have Correa. Give me the best player available, and we'll figure out positions later.
I think it's really easy. It's a lot easier to sign Story for a cheaper deal, extend Judge.
He's probably the best value guy you could get in free agency, depending on what you can sign him for. So, like, I'm all for it, you know?
I wouldn't be mad if we signed Correa, but I personally would rather sign Story. I'd be happy with either. I would not be happy with signing Andrelton Simmons. That would piss me off greatly. And then there's Jose Iglesias.
Freddie Galvis is still there, but I thought he signed with – yeah, I think he signed like with a Korean team or a Japanese team, right?
I'm pretty sure he did. Mike Freeman, literally never heard of him.
it's Freddie Freeman's brother.
Jonathan Villar, I don't want him. Don't want anyone that's not Trevor Story or Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
Okay, the only way I want Andrelton Simmons is if they for some reason don't – if they don't get Olsen, if they sign Freeman and they think Peraza will be ready – by the all-star break, then okay. But and under no other circumstances. Andrelton Simmons cannot be a shortstop for more than 3 months. That cannot happen. Okay. Now third base. Third base has one spicy option in it, and that's Chris Bryant. Obviously not stuck as a third baseman, but he's not going to the Yankees. I think he'll go to Seattle. What are your thoughts?
So I'm just looking through Twitter, and I was not paying attention. We're talking about third Chris base. Chris Bryant. I like that. I kind of like him more on the Mariners, to be honest with you. And that's probably where – oh, that's what you were saying? Okay. Yeah. Funny. So I told you – just looking for but, yeah, I think –
your mic is like cutting out. Okay, well, Jatinder has a little bit of technical issues right now, so I guess I will keep this going because I plan on just uploading this straight after we're done, so I don't want a huge awkward pause. Jatinder, feel free to like try talking whenever, and we'll see if it works, but. Actually, yeah, let's see. Is it working now? Nope. still cannot hear Jatinder. So I guess it's a solo podcast for the time being. But yeah, I think that Mariners is a good fit for Chris Bryant. There are obviously a few other places he can go since he's so versatile. I think the Blue Jays could be a potential good fit for him. But in terms of other first basemen, there's not really anyone that good. So I guess we'll just keep it moving with corner outfielders. We will check back in with Jatinder. You there? Nope. I can hear him clicking around. Big corner outfielder is Brett Gardner. I think Jatinder and I are in agreement here. That will be the first move of free agency. The Yankees re-signing Brett Gardner. But on a serious note, I kind of hope not. It's going to be tough to see him play in another jersey, but I just don't think it. I think his time is running out as a Yankee. Other notable players, Nick Castellanos. I think everyone thought he was going to go to the Marlins, but with Jeter leaving, and we're not sure if the Marlins are actually going to try and compete. So
that could mess things up a little bit. But I mean, he could go anywhere now that the DH is a thing universally. Like he just mashes. He can't play defense, but he mashes. So he'd be a good fit for any NL team or AL team that needs a DH. Michael Conforto, there's been some rumors the Yankees are interested. I think going back to the Mets could make sense if they want to go that route. Anyone that really needs an outfielder, Michael Conforto is going to help them out. So there's a lot of options. I know that I probably should be naming a bit more people here, but I've been a bit out of the loop. I just got to refresh my baseball memory. I mean, obviously, as we get closer to the season, start doing more episodes, this is kind of a spur of the moment thing. I will be a bit more in tune. Some other people worth mentioning. Who else? Jock Peterson, another guy just like Castellanos, but a little bit worse in terms of he'll go anywhere that needs the DH. Same thing with Jorge Soler. Like they mash, they hit home runs. They can't play great defense, but they can hit home runs. So they'll find a spot. I wouldn't be surprised if Jorge Soler went back to the Braves. Next, we got Kyle Schwarber's back. Like I said, I think the Red Sox going back there would be a good fit, or just anywhere that needs a DH. And one interesting guy would be Seiya Suzuki from the Korean League. I think the Yankees could be interested in him. The Yankees tend to have a Korean player. Or no, sorry, he's not Korean. I think he's from Japan. Sorry. So they tend to have Japanese players on their team somewhat commonly. So they like to have them as kind of, it's a good way to get into that market and just get that extra noticeability for the Yankees. It's something they like to do. They had it with Tanaka and Hideki. It's been common for them. So I wouldn't be shocked if he went to the Yankees, but I don't necessarily think he's going to. And some signs are pointing to him staying in the Korean League. So that could be a little tricky. And then center fielders, do we got anything? There's not really any center fielders that are that notable. DHs, same thing. We've talked about a lot of them. Nelson Cruz and Chris Davis, two big ones out there as a universal DH. They will find homes. And then pitchers. I think I'm going to wait till Jacinder. I'm going to give Jacinder a little bit to get back before we talk about pitchers. These are some big ones. So what should we do in the meantime? I guess I can update you guys on the fact that I do want to get a camera for my setup so that we can start recording video for these and uploading them to YouTube, and maybe doing, I know we talked about in past podcasts, maybe doing live episodes during big games or anything of that sort. I think that'd be really fun, but definitely let me know if you guys have any opinions on things that we should do. Oh, Jatinder's reconnecting. Let's see if it works this time. Oh, are you back?
Can you hear me?
Yep, there he is.
You know what happened? My laptop died.
Oh my God. All right. So while you were gone, I went through the outfielders. There really wasn't a whole lot.
I know Conforto was available. Yeah. I don't think he's going back to the Mets. I'm not really sure what team will sign him. I'm just trying to think. I'm thinking maybe the Angels, just because, you know, they like to make a move just to make a move.
Yeah.
That's probably the most likely fit, I think.
I saw some story saying he might go to the Yankees. Like the Yankees might be interested.
Have they even had talks? So before the lockout happened, they said the Yankees asked for medicals for Correa, Rodon, and who's the third one? Do you remember that third pitcher that they asked for, the third player that they asked for medicals? I didn't see anything about Conforto. So Freeman? I think, was it Freeman? I think
let me try and search.
I think it was Kikuchi. But those were the three guys they had. They asked for medicals, which is why I thought they were more likely to sign Correa, just because the way how fast this is going to go, I think you need to be looking at their medicals like right now to make a deal. But
I
that's why I think Correa's going to the Yankees, but we'll see. I still think Conforto goes to the Angels.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it's more like the Yankees sign Correa than it is that they sign Story, but I just prefer them to sign Story. So DH is like, there's Cruz and Chris Davis. I just said they're going to find a team because they hit home runs. Same thing with Jorge Soler. It's going to happen.
He won the World Series MVP, right? Jorge Soler? Yeah.
I think he'll go
so and Jock Peterson.
Jock Peterson, same story. I think Soler will go back to the Braves. But I stopped at pitchers. I started rambling about other stuff while you were gone because I wanted to wait for you to get back for the pitchers.
Okay.
So we'll start with right-handed pitchers because that's how this website has it. Let's see. The biggest right-handed pitcher, I was about to say Clayton Kershaw and make myself look like an idiot. Who would be? Who do you think is the biggest right-handed pitcher left?
Zach Greinke?
Yeah, probably. One could, Remember when Jake Arrieta was good? He's only 36. Like, it's been so long since he was good. And he so good in, like, 2015.
Yeah, when he signed with the Phillies, that was kind of like the first, you know, slip. But by the end of it, like, he was
terrible. Into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, and then last year, just like, that was terrible. And then when he got with the Padres, it was even worse than when he was with the Cubs. How do you get even worse than a 9 ERA?
Yeah, there's really not many good free agent right-handed pitchers. Zach Greinke's okay, but he's old.
Jacob Martinez Junis is a... is an interesting pick. I think he's coming off injuries.
I think he's a reliever now.
That's why
he's ever going to be a good starter.
Yeah.
Pineda. Oh boy. Big boy Pineda's back.
I thought he Garrett signed Richards with the Padres. Is this accurate?
I think it is. I don't know. Garrett Richards. Aaron Sanchez. That's an interesting one.
He's always a candidate just because he won the ERA title and you're just like, oh man, if he bounces back, but he keeps getting injured. He keeps getting blister injuries. Like, I don't think he's just the same thing with Carlos Martinez. I think he's probably a relief pitcher at this point. Like, just put him in the bullpen and see what he could do. Remember when he came up, he was great out of the bullpen.
Yep.
So let's try to recapture some magic. I think some team will probably sign him, not the Yankees.
Yeah. Remember when Julio Teheran was a big name?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Jose Ureña, Vince Velasquez was pretty good for the Phillies for like a year. But the left-handed starters, one big name, Clayton Kershaw. There's other good players. That's why I think this is a nice place to kind of talk about. But Clayton Kershaw is almost to the level of Freddie Freeman, of like everyone just assumed he was going to be back to the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But now, what were you saying?
I think my prediction was Kershaw to the Dodgers, and I thought it was going to happen pretty quick. So the fact that we're still here, well, I guess we had the lockout, but the fact that he's still there is kind of shocking to me. I was going to say, before we go into the big names, I want to talk about like those lower tier guys like Tyler Anderson. He's a good pitcher. I don't think the Yankees, you know, take a shot at him, but I think he's a good pitcher to have on your team. He's an innings eater, lefty. Yeah. He pitches to contact. He's not going to wow you with the strikeout rate, but I think he's very solid four guy in your
rotation. Yeah, I was about to say, I think he's really good for a team that has a good foundation but just needs an innings eater at the back of their rotation. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Like Danny Duffy, I think, is a little bit better than Tyler Anderson, but same general idea.
Yeah.
Cole Hamels and Jay Happ are on their way out. Like, that's just going to be take a flyer on them and see what they do. Who else is kind of on that lower tier? Jose Quintana, Martin Perez, same idea. They're kind of younger, but it's take a flyer. Drew Smiley, same thing. Like, they could turn it around. They're not too old. to turn their career around, but it's more than likely they're not going to be that great.
Yeah, you're trying to catch lightning in the bottle.
Yeah.
And hoping you kind of, you know, remake their careers.
Yeah, and kind of in between the mid-tier and the top tier, you have Kikuchi.
Mm-hmm.
He's been up and down so far. He could be really good if he gets the right instruction and the right environment and everything. So I think he'll sign. Obviously, he's going to sign, but I think he'll get a decent deal of a team trying to take a chance.
I think he's one of those guys where, not to the extent that Zach Wheeler was, because you kind of knew he would grow, but like he has like volume. Like he could rise up and become a better pitcher than what you sign him at and get a really good value for him. Because I still think like just a couple tweaks here and there, and he's a really good pitcher. His first half stats were great. He was an all-star, I think. And then in the second half, he just fell off, which is weird because the Mariners did not fall off. But
one could say sticky stuff.
That's true. That's a good point.
But I do think that he has a lot of potential. He's a guy worth signing. I wouldn't be mad if the Yankees signed him. I'd rather get the next guy I'm about to mention, who is Carlos Rodon. Kikuchi, I think, is going to have a pretty good career as a major leaguer. I don't think he'll ever be an ace. I personally don't think he'll be an ace, but I could see him being a solid two or three guy at some point.
Same.
But Rodon definitely has ace potential. If he can stay healthy, it's worth taking a chance on Rodon. I really want the Yankees to sign him. Lefty that throws straight gas, has disgusting breaking pitches. All he has to do is stay healthy, which, as we learned with James Paxton, that's a tough thing to rely on. But if he can do it, he's going to be worth all the money that he signs for.
Yeah. I really do like that signing. If we could get Carlos Rodon, like you saw his stats this past year, like he was unbelievable. Like he was in contention for the Cy Young. I think he was probably the favorite to win it at that point when he got injured. And his strikeout rates went through the roof this year. I think he had like 180 in 130 innings, something like that, with like a 2.5 ERA somewhere around there.
Yep, I think it's okay. So officially opening day is April 7th. Not every team will play on April 7th. Some will play April 8th for opening day, but the first Major League Baseball game of the season is the Yankees versus the Red Sox. It could not get more perfect. Not only did our game get moved to opening day, now it's the first baseball game of the year.
That's exciting, you know. And what better teams to start the new CBA era, I guess, than Yankees and Red Sox, right?
Oh, that's going to be a great day. But yeah, back to our free agents. I think the last one is Clayton Kershaw. I think now it's looking like he's going to go to Texas.
Yeah. I think those were the two teams, Dodgers and the Rangers, were the favorites to sign him. And the fact that it's taken this long,
that's kind of where I'm at with Freeman too. It's like the fact that it's taken this long, he must have been soured to the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's going to go to the Rangers, but I would not be shocked. And not 1 ounce of me would be shocked if he resigned with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Okay, the relievers. There's always so many of them. Oh my goodness. Oh my God. There's like 100 of them.
There's so many relievers. First reliever that I'm thinking of right now is the Trevor Rosenthal. He signed with the A's, I think. And then he got
36
injured. Yeah, Adam Adovino's old. Yeah.
There's a lot of...
Yeah, Keenan Akella, that's an interesting guy coming off of Tommy John surgery, but he's always had good stuff, so maybe sign him to a two-year contract. Shane Green, he did terrible this year, Shane Green.
Yeah, he did.
Familia. Alex Colome is a guy that I'm looking at. Had a great year 2 years ago. Not so great this year.
C-Shack is a fun guy.
Yeah.
Betances is a free agent.
Is there. Betances,
what happened
with
Betances last year?
Just got hurt. And he was his fastball also didn't have the same zip. It's kind of sad. I don't think he's still the same guy he was.
Yeah, Archie Bradley's 29. That's a big one.
Yeah, I remember the Phillies traded for him. He came from. Who did he come from? Did he come from the Rangers? I don't know why I'm thinking the Rangers, but that doesn't sound right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think the relief pitchers, everyone knows how up and down they are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys out there. There's going to be a lot of relievers signed. I don't think there's anyone crazy. Kirby Yates.
Coming back from injury.
Tapera.
I
don't think the Yankees need anyone.
There's someone that I just realized that's the Astros former closer.
Not Devinsky. The one that punched himself?
Him too, but no, he signed with the Mariners, Ken Giles. I'm talking about Ozuna.
Oh, no. Fuck Ozuna.
But it's interesting that he's not.
Sergio Romo.
He's still there. Wow. I remember that the whole thing when the sticky stuff first happened and he dropped his pants, but I didn't realize he's still available. That's crazy. There's no one here. Like, there's a lot of good pitchers that's going
on here.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. Is he suspended?
Not
no?
in the league anymore?
Maybe he's not a free agent. Maybe he signed with a team then. I just can't think of what team signed him. Oh, yeah, he's a free agent.
My blind, where do you see that?
Well, the fact that I just see him in an Astros hat leads me to believe that he's not. Go to his Wikipedia. He's in a Mexican league?
Oh, yes. I think I saw that.
Huh.
Oh, well. Baseball doesn't need him.
Yeah. But there's a lot of good pitchers, but there's no one that I think that's elite, you know, that you must sign. You know, like, there's a lot of guys that I think are reclamation projects. Brad Hand is one. Trevor Rosenthal is another one that got hurt. Ken Giles. You know, Jake Diekman is a really good pitcher, but I just don't see them, you know, commanding a lot of money. I think it's just a lot of depth guys that you would want in your bullpen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think the Yankees need to sign anyone. They have a strong bullpen. Definitely don't sign anyone that's more than $1 million or $2 million for sure.
Yeah, I think with the fact that there's so many relief pitchers, you probably can sign a really good relief pitcher for like $1 million. You know.
But yeah, I don't want the Yankees spending a lot on their bullpen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Let Same. Britton, Chapman, and all of them, all of their contracts run out, and then
mm-hmm. So I
be
think
smart.
The move to make if you're the Yankees, and I think it's what we've always been talking about, but it's, you know, starting pitching, shortstop, first base, and to a lesser extent, center field. But I think they're going to stick with Aaron Hicks. But we'll see whether it's a trade or free agency.
And I mentioned Seiya Suzuki while you were gone. He could go to the Yankees, but I think he might stay in the Korean or the Japanese league at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one has been talking about him at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. And that's kind of like a rundown of free agents. There's a lot of them that still need to sign. A lot's going to happen. Unfortunately, nothing has come through so far.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed. I really wanted something to break as we were talking live, but nothing happened.
I don't think we need to record for the amount of time that it might take. So let's see. What else do we want to talk about to kind of round things off while we wait a little bit? I guess let's talk about expectations for this year.
Okay.
What do you have going into it? Obviously, moves need to happen, mm-hmm. but what are your thoughts?
So me and you kind of talked about this just during the lockout. I still think the Yankees have a solid team. Obviously, you want them to improve, but as is, I think they're a second place team. I still think maybe the Rays are going to beat them, but I really do think they have a really good shot. You know, like, I don't think it's like the Rays are going to run away with it. I think the Yankees, it's just a matter of getting the guys healthy. You can't expect a lot of guys to do as bad. So I expect some regression and they're going to do better. And like, you can't expect Gleyber, DJ to do as bad. And I think we have a good bullpen. I would really like just an extra starting pitcher just to move us ahead.
Yeah.
But as constructed right now, I think we're a second place team. But I think if we add a guy, I think we're a first place team. And I think that's, yeah.
The way the teams currently are rostered, I think the Yankees are a third place team.
Really?
But I think the Jays are better than the Yankees with the current rosters. I really don't think the season will start that way, mm-hmm. but it's close.
I think that all four teams are very close
yeah. right now. If the Yankees sign Correa, trade for Olsen, sign Correa or Story, get Olsen or Freeman, and then sign a starting pitcher or trade for one, mm-hmm. if they do all three of those things, they are the best team in the AL East on paper, mm-hmm. without a doubt, unless the Blue Jays go crazy or the Red mm-hmm. Sox go crazy. But I don't think that's going to happen. So yeah. I think we'll start the year as the best team. That's kind of my expectation. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's going to be a very fun year. If we sign a first baseman and a shortstop, and I don't think we necessarily need a starting pitcher, but it would reinsure it. But I think this might be the year that we've been waiting for. If Judge and Stanton were healthy last year, for the most part, Gerrit Cole has the whole offseason to work on getting healthy and fixing, like, learning how to pitch without sticky stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
Seve has looked incredible. Monty's going to keep improving. Tyone has been working really hard to get back out there. Mm-hmm. I have all the faith in the world that Judge can lead this team to the World Series. And, I don't even want to know what I'm going to do when the Yankees win the World Series again. It's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
But.
So my thought process, though, was that I felt like the Blue Jays and Red Sox just played out of their mind. I am worried about them, but I just feel like regression to the way the Yankees just underperformed and the way the Blue Jays and Red Sox overperformed.
Yeah.
I think that's going to cancel each other out and you just have to defer to the Rays just because, you know, they've won the division.
The Rays always overperform.
Yeah. So like, you have to just give them that nod, but like,
yeah,
I honestly, you could, the top four teams, you could put it in any order. It doesn't really matter. They're just that close to it. But yeah. I do think if the Yankees make improvements, like, they are the best team in the division and the league.
Something I sometimes forget, that we signed Dylan Lawson.
Mm.
And that could make a huge difference. Like, mm-hmm. Matt Blake made a huge difference in our pitching.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance that our hitting just gets way better in the next year or two. Hopefully this year. And if that happens, like, if Gleyber and DJ start hitting like they can, mm-hmm. if we sign a shortstop and a first baseman, and Aaron Hicks stays healthy, things could get really bad really fast for the rest of the league.
Thing is that with Aaron Hicks, he doesn't need to be like a great player. He just needs to play good defense, draw walks,
and
stay healthy. Yeah. But like, I don't need him to be, and I don't expect him to be like a 300 hitter, 30 home runs. Like, I'm not expecting that. But play good defense, draw your walks, and stay healthy. And I think he's a really good center fielder. And I think people, you know, don't realize how short, like, how, like, the depth in center field is not that great. You know, there is a drop off between Trout.
Yeah, when Aaron Hicks's last healthy season, he was legitimately one of like the top three or four center fielders in the American League. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's how shallow. Like, he was never that good, but a healthy Aaron Hicks can produce you 240 to 260 batting average, low to mid 300 OBP, good defense, 15 to 25 home runs. Like, that's
there was a reason why the Red Sox stuck with Jackie Bradley Jr. for all those years. It wasn't because, you know, he was offensive. It was just because center field is kind of shallow. And, you know, if you bring in good defense, you bring a lot of value to that position.
There's a reason Andrelton Simmons was employed for so long. He can't hit anything, but I can't wait. I think we're in for a great year.
It's going to be
such a fun year. Next year is going to be crazy with all the rule changes.
Oh yeah. It's going to be interesting.
I can't believe the Yankees Red Sox is the first game of the year. Spring training is supposed to start a week from today, games. So I can't wait for that. I can't wait to just watch Major League Baseball being played again.
Yeah.
Watch the spring training home runs. It's
get excited it's about happen. A guy that's never going to make the team.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
Probably see Anthony Volpe. He'll probably play.
Yeah.
Dominguez. I don't know if Dominguez will play in the Major League camp, but
I don't Peraza, think he will either.
Peraza definitely will.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to see. Why am I blanking on his name? The pitcher that we just called up last year,
Luis Hill.
Yeah, Luis Hill. Well, I don't know why I was blanking on his name. We'll see him. We'll see Clark Schmidt. We'll see Davey. Like, I'm interested to see what Davey comes out with this year. Will he turn around or is he just full on bust?
Yeah, the thing is with him, like, I don't think you could turn him into a reliever. You know, I don't think he's
not that type of pitcher.
Like, you know, when you throw in a guy into the bullpen, you're like, oh, he's going to get better velocity, but he doesn't have that velocity. It's like
Monty.
Yeah, exactly.
CC. Like, they're not relievers, they're starters.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see. Man, I'm so happy that it's over. It really can't get better. And so let's end the episode out with some things that we think we want to do in the next few weeks. Obviously, main thing, we want to do our prediction video. We will I want to try and get a camera and figure out a good way to record so that we can record our screens and like do like a graphic for our predictions. I think that'll make it a little easier to follow, but that'll expect that video or that podcast will happen. We will make a prediction video or podcast. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And what are some other ones that you think we should do?
Kind of hard, can't think on the spot, but you know, I think definitely just I know just for our podcast, I know we wanted to, you know, get our Twitter like going and stuff, so definitely, you know, getting that out, trying to do that just for our brand, I guess, would be nice. Definitely excited about the Yankee Red Sox game, like that game that we go to, like we're going to talk about it, like that's just talk about the experience, just being the first game, like I can't stress how happy I am that this happened. Like, we have baseball.
Yeah, I've never been to an opening day baseball game, let alone a Yankees opening day game, let alone a Yankees home opener on opening day, let alone a Yankees versus Red Sox on opening day, let alone it being the first game of the MLB season. Like, if this game, I said this to Jatinder earlier, if this game isn't sold out or close to it, I don't care that it's at 1 o'clock on a Thursday. It better be packed. This isn't just your ordinary opening day. I think it was against the Orioles 1 year, a couple years ago, like the home opener. This is opening day against the Red Sox. This, it better be packed. I'm going to be upset if it's not.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's not sold out. Like, there's no way, like, with everything that's happened, if this isn't sold out, I would be disappointed in the fans. And I don't think we will be disappointed in the fans.
And if we sign big free agents, that's even more fuel to the fire that it's going to be sold out. Oh, I can't wait. And I think, I mean, we could, I think we should make one video of like we did last year of our whole MLB predictions. We can make a separate video once we, hopefully we know full rosters for the most part in the next 2 weeks. So that,
have we done our rankings of players yet?
No, we haven't.
Okay. I think that's definitely something we should have.
Okay. I think at this point we should be back to weekly uploads. Now there's actual stuff to talk about. So I think next week we'll do half of our player rankings. The week after we'll do our next half. And then the next week, hopefully rosters are set enough so that the 2 weeks, because we have like 4 weeks until opening day, the next 2 weeks, the 2 weeks before opening day, I would like to be able to do our whole MLB predictions as one video, and then another video as our Yankees predictions.
Okay.
And I think I want to upload Yankees predictions the day before opening day or the day of. So look out for that. And what is this link you sent?
Oh, you know what, okay. I just remembered? You know what I just remembered? Kenley Jansen is probably a big name reliever. That's probably the biggest name reliever that's still available.
Yeah, good for him. I don't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
No shot do I want Kenley Jansen on the Yankees.
Like we said, we're not signing anyone more than a couple $1 million, you know, and he's going to command a lot of money, and I don't think he's going to be worth it. So,
you know what I can't wait for this year?
What?
For the Mets to miss the playoffs and for us to stomp them in the Subway Series. And I want to score 5 runs off Max Scherzer and then the next day to against Jacob DeGrom. I can't wait for the Mets to miss the playoffs again. The Mets fans have been going bonkers on Twitter this offseason. They're usually bad, but now they're trying to say that the Mets are the only relevant team in New York and are like bigger than the Yankees. Like, the Mets didn't make the playoffs last year. Are people forgetting this? Like, they signed traded for Javi Baez, signed Lindor, all of this stuff to not make the playoffs.
And they were more in relevant. They were in first place for how long, and they missed the playoffs?
They didn't even They finished under 500, didn't they?
Yeah.
But somehow they're more relevant than the Yankees, who have made the playoffs almost every year for the last 30 years.
You've been sending me screenshots of tweets people have been putting out there, and there's a lot of maybe that's a video in itself, just going through like bad, you know, Twitter takes. That's probably a video we should come up with. Like,
we could
of the worst tweets that we've seen and just react to it.
Yeah, and I think something this year, and now Jatinder and I's busy seasons at our jobs are over, so we will have more time now. We've sucked at uploading the off season. Don't be too mad at us, because there was a lockout, obviously. Like, baseball isn't the number one thing during a lockout, but now that it's back, I want to start uploading more. Once I get a camera, I think I'm going to try and upgrade our recording situation. Right now we just take Zoom and record it. I think I want to upgrade that a bit so we can get our cameras. We can record our screen so that we could, like Jatinder said, like do videos about just reacting to tweets. Like, not every piece of content we upload has to be our podcast. Like, if we're just want to record like a fun video one day and just upload it, like, I want to be able to do that. And I think that's something this season we definitely want to be more committed to the content and just trying to stick to a better schedule and upload consistently, and mainly the podcast every week, and then just sprinkle in some fun content here and there. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, this has been a great episode. Everyone's just happy that baseball's back. I'm upset that no moves have been made, but it is what it is. Moves will be made. And I mean, if the Yankees sign someone big tomorrow, we're going to make a video or another episode tomorrow, at least mm-hmm. covering that move. So
yeah,
for that's sure. status quo for the rest of the offseason. As soon as we can record after a big move is made for, that relates to the Yankees, we'll do it. So look out for that. We're excited to grow with you guys this year and try and connect with more of you guys, I think. And definitely reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram. That's the best way to get in contact with us. Get your ideas over to us at the Bronx Story on both of them. We do have our website now, which is linked in our bio of our Twitter and Instagram. And I believe it's in the show notes of each podcast we upload in the description. So just look out for that. Remember to leave us a rating review on Apple Music and Spotify now. But yeah, it's not about the numbers. Obviously, it's fun to see this go up. It's fun to get those views, but we really just want to interact with you guys, and it's more of just a fun thing for us. So yeah. And I think for the first time in a long time, we can do our little outro thing correctly. So here we go. Let's go, Yankees. And Jatinda ruins it.
Can't think okay. of anything. Baseball's back.
No, that's no, it. You just got, no, do our traditional one.
What's our traditional one?
What do they say at the beginning of every baseball game?
Michael Kay says at the what? Beginning of the baseball game? What are you talking about?
So once you are about to start playing, the umpire says,
oh, let's play ball.
Yeah, that's our traditional ending. So let's try this again. Let's go, Yanks.
Let's play ball. Let's go, Yankees.
All right. That'll work. All right. See you guys. We'll be back next week or whenever the Yankees make a move.
We're rusty.
Yeah, you got to bear with us.
See you guys. Bye.